We are recording. Things are happening. Hello and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. Pam, pam, pam. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hi.
And my other brother, Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, happy Sunday, happy weekend, happy whatever day you're listening to this particular episode, because that's the day that it is for you.
Happy weekend.
And if you're listening to it, that means that it actually got posted.
Yeah,
right?
We're a little behind.
No, we're going to get caught up today.
Patrick's going to have a lot more, he's gonna have a lot more free time on his hands in the near future. So
yes, it's getting caught up today. We're brothers with geeks. We talk about geeky things. This is episode number 165. We're recording this on April 25th. How's it going? What are we talking about? We don't even know what we're talking about. We're talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier and Invincible, and maybe I started watching Mortal Kombat last night. I got 40 minutes in.
I've finished Mortal Kombat. I finished it.
I finished it as well.
Finish it.
We also can talk about, has anybody watched The Nevers?
We could talk about The Nevers.
I'm current.
I can talk about For All Mankind, because I just finished season two of For All Mankind.
I started watching Shadow and Bone on Netflix. I'm not quite done with it, but we could talk about that too. So we got a few things. Okay. Let's just break them down here. We all watch Falcon Winter Soldier, so let's talk about that for a minute. How do you guys feel about it being over? Maybe some light spoilers for Falcon and Winter Soldier, just a warning to everybody. If you haven't watched that, maybe, possibly.
I will say that I very much enjoyed the series. Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan are great as, this buddy cop, you know, partner spies bickering through the whole thing. Like, they've got that great energy and chemistry, so that's a lot of fun to watch. The action is pretty good. It's not like cinema level. I mean, it's 90% like cinema level, but we come to expect the best action you've ever seen from the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a lot of ways, and this TV show just didn't quite get there. But it was still really good.
They already are saying that I heard reports that the showrunner, they're making Captain America 4 with Falcon and Winter Soldier, the new Captain America.
Sam Wilson.
It's happening.
So
they obviously like the show. I would say
the show's a big success. A lot of people are watching it, and a lot of people are enjoying it.
So I think that I enjoyed it also, but I think it's I'm in a little more of a meh kind of a route.
I was meh about the finale. I felt the finale actually might have been the weakest episode of the entire season.
Well, and then episode 5, I want to say, was the one that's titled Truth, was really good.
It was amazing. That's an amazing episode.
That was a really well made episode, and I think that the same director did the first episode did the last episode, so I think that's part of the reason why the last episode. I don't think that director is great. Okay. I don't think that director is very good. For the most part, I think the show is kind of. I watched it and I like Marvel cinematic stuff. And so I kept with it, but Hannah gave up on it. And I don't know. I think that it's like I bought into it because I'm a fanboy, you know. And anyways, Christopher, what did you think?
What did I think? I liked it. I like the overarching. I like the commentary on America, and I very much enjoyed
that part's is some of the best of it. Yeah,
yeah. I like the finale in that it was a reveal of Sam as Captain America. He made, you know, he grappled with the decision, and I thought those action scenes were very good. And I think that, you know, he got a chance to speechify and and lecture a little bit. And so there was a little bit self-serious, but it's also moving the cinematic universe forward, so it accomplishes sort of some of those things that the MC, you know, Marvel's trying to do. Because it was more action-y, the last episode was more action-y, and then I guess I'm lukewarm on it. I guess you can tell. I'm trying to.
Yeah,
I liked it, but it wasn't phenomenal. So.
Yeah, right. That I think we're on the same page. It's like I liked it, and there are parts of it that are pretty interesting, but like, did you like WandaVision better than this? Would you say?
I like WandaVision better, just because it was so different.
Yeah, very bizarre. Yeah.
It was. This one was by the numbers, Marvel MCU kind of stuff. I liked WandaVision because it was they were taking risks. This was, for all of the, oh my God, a black man is Captain America. It was very, very by the numbers. I'm disappointed in the Power Broker reveal stuff.
Yeah.
Is she bad? She's clearly like shifted into self-interest mode, but I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, that was the part that kind of did not land well for me with Sharon Carter as the Power Broker. I'm just like, okay.
I mean, I get that. Yeah, she should be the Power Broker. That made sense to me. But then she's like infiltrating and like immediately like sets up I got access to all this stuff now. I wasn't tracking that very well, and that didn't. I don't know where that's going.
I don't like
that path for that character.
I don't like her being like this random evil person either, and. I kind of feel weird about the whole USA, like US agent being kind of like this villain, and then all of a sudden he like is running and helping and like fist bumping.
Killed that person.
This fist bumping Winter Soldier, and it's like, no, dude, you're like, I wanted
dude,
him to
you're
be
a criminal. You're a criminal. Yeah. Although he did kill a terrorist. So, I mean, from the perspective of the world, he killed a terrorist. So,
yes.
He gets a pass. But then the U.S. sort of, he's dishonorably discharged, right?
I mean,
that's the whole thing. He's just like not a good dude. And so I don't know what shadowy organization she represents and who is like running him now. And why he would get the U.S. Patriot name.
U.S. agent.
Yeah.
That seemed a little heavy-handed. Like
it was muddled.
Muddled. Well, and like they go all years of not saying the word Scarlet Witch out loud. Like they don't say Black Widow, and then they have to say U.S. Agent out loud. Like you don't have to do that. Like no one says, you know.
They never call Carol Danvers Captain Marvel at all.
They never say it.
Here's why I think they did that, because that's like ultra confusing. He transitions from Captain America into this other dude. I think the writers probably concluded, all right, this is three layers down. We have to say it out loud so people. Attached meaning.
Whereas everybody
knows the Black Widow, and you know.
I think that like the basic viewer, the mom and dad viewer, the baseline, the level ones who are watching this stuff, they need that person to say it out loud. The guys who read the comics, who are dialed in Marvel fans, don't need you to say U.S. Agent out loud.
You say dialed in Marvel fans, Patrick. I mean, this series went into things about the lore of Captain America that I'd never heard of. Like, I didn't know Isaiah Bradley was a black super soldier and that was a story pulled straight from the comics. I didn't know that until I did my own research.
I think I remember that from my working in a comic book shop days. I remember seeing that cover of him standing like that. I thought the art style was really interesting. It was a very 90s art style. Yeah. Comic where he's like standing on a thing with like the flag and the shield, and then he had the bandana wrapped. He had like the red bandana wrapped around his head. He was a very interesting looking Captain America, but that was
he Captain America or was it something called differently?
He was the Captain America in between the time. No, so this was like sort of, from what I remember, and I'm probably going to screw this up, anybody who looks this up, but from what I remember, it was sort of like the retcon days of when Captain America was asleep, like in the in-between time, but he had already woken up, so it was like a story that was set before Steve Rogers woke up, but like the comic was written after he was an Avenger and all that stuff. Yeah. It was like it was written in the 90s, but it was like set. Yeah. It was set back.
Well, so it was telling the story of the post Captain America into the ice.
Yes.
Yeah.
They tried to replicate the Super Soldier program, and then they gave it to a black man.
Mm-hmm.
So
all that seems correct. Well, the thing that they really kind of like talk about that I think is good in this show that the comics always talked about that the movies never did was the serum doesn't work on everybody. It kills people most of the time. Like I think they had to say that eventually. It's like, why not just keep making more super soldiers? This is something that they said is like people have tried to figure it out. And Steve was different. Isaiah Bradley is different. This new super soldier serum, anybody can just put it in their arm and now they're a super soldier. The one that was invented by this guy who got shot by Zemo. But I think that's pretty, there's some good like lore Captain America stuff in this show. I think that it's just kind of like a muddled writing and some hamstringy directing. I think that the speech in the street needed to be like half as long. Because like he's just lecturing these senators just got like attacked by terrorists in the street. So what is this scene? What is this?
I'm gonna disagree with you. I like the speech. I think because that is in Captain America in the MCU. I mean, Steve Rogers speechifies.
I know,
that's
but
part of his character. But I think the fact that Anthony Mackie and Sam Wilson's Captain, because Captain America is an earnest character. He believes in everything he says. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't believe it, I mean, he is convincing. I saw a commentary about Steve Rogers as Captain America in The Winter Soldier. Steve really doesn't change that much throughout the course of that movie. He changes everyone around him. And that's kind of the essence of Captain America. He's like this solid presence in the world. And he influences others because of who he is.
Sure.
And Sam Wilson had to go through everything he did to become that. And I totally buy Sam Wilson as a Captain America, this version of Captain America. I bought into his speech. I thought it was great. There's a fantastic line that I tweeted out that, you buy it because he says it and it makes sense. He's like, the only superpower I have is I believe that we can do better. I mean, and that is just pure Captain America, but Sam's Captain America.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's not Steve. He's not replicating what Steve was. He is his version of Captain America, and that whole speech like defines that for himself. And I like that for that reason. And I like the fact as much as people talk about the MCU and Disney in general being just white bread, like being the most kind of the most inoffensive, tasteless entertainment you can get. It's just you bite into it and it's just, it's not supposed to like bother you at all. It's just supposed to be easily digestible and, you know, worth, you know, you spend 2 hours doing it. The fact that this show directly addresses race and in a larger sense, America and how their like presence in the world. I like the fact that they went right at it and they didn't offer any easy solutions either. Like they didn't immediately, they didn't say like, you know, they didn't like come to a conclusion that, you know what, America will always blah, blah, blah. And America will this and wait, he's not waving the flag. It's like Sam has decided this, he is Captain America. This is his version of Captain America. And he is going to serve his version or his idea of America no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not going to be influenced by Isaiah Bradley anymore. He's not going to be influenced by people who are like, that shield doesn't belong to you. He has accepted who he is, and he is going to be the version of Captain America that make most sense for a black man with his life to be Captain America. And well, I totally bought into it.
It's this interesting idea about like being Captain America in this universe is sort of like you're a symbol. You're a symbol for,
yeah,
like you're more than just like a dude who's trying to help people. Like, because Steve was more than just a dude that was trying to help people. He's sort of like taking on this role that is, you know, profound. Like but people look up to him, you know.
But
they
look up to him because of his example. He has to lead by example.
Exactly. So there's a lot of like good parts about that stuff that's really interesting. And like Bucky could never be Captain America because he just like he doesn't want to be that guy. He isn't that guy. The guy who he does the right thing, but he's not the person that like stands on the street corner saying a speech to senators, you know.
Yeah.
I think that part of this story, which is an interesting story, is, you know, Sam deciding to take on that role, realizing that he has to be the one who continues Steve's legacy and stands up but taking on the moniker of Captain America is muddled being a black man in the United States.
Right. That's the only interesting part of the season, really.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. That whole storyline, I hated the villain. I think that Kari was really boring and I hated her motivation. I didn't understand it really. And I hated John Walker being kind of just like fist bumpy at the end. I think he should have been the villain also. I think that I don't like his resolution whatsoever. I think that he should have been way more like blacklisted than he was. Mm. He should have been standing in a senator's like council, like changing into the black U.S. agent uniform. That should have been like in a bunker somewhere, like getting him ready to be like a fucking like black ops agent. Like now you're a black ops. We're not doing this in the
He's in a hearing room.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in the hearing room changing
on,
of this
on, Cap, on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. You should be in a military base. Hear your orders. Go kill these people. That should have been the end of his thing. He's like, you're no longer Captain America. You're something else.
It was weird.
So okay. Well, let's move on because it sounds like we got a few shows to work on. Have you been watching any Invincible, Andrew?
I have not. I have not watched one episode.
Holy shit! It's so good. Dude, it's so good.
Why aren't you watching that? It's amazing.
I've been doing other things. I'm sorry,
dude.
Yes, I'm going to. I just haven't yet.
Episode seven was so awesome. It was. So...
How many? Okay, we talked about this last episode though. But like, how many episodes are
going to
be? Like,
they're going to be eight. They're going to be eight.
And then I might just wait for the last. I'll just binge it next week, and I'll watch the whole thing
next Friday. The last one drops, and we know exactly. You know exactly. Like it's the end of issue 12 in the comics, so you know exactly what that. Who, like, if you remember that, you know, it's a big reveal about his father and
yeah,
all that stuff. All that's coming to a head. All that's coming to a head in the
I will binge it all so we can talk about the whole series next episode.
Episode 7 was so good. It was so good. This season was awesome. It's my favorite comic, and I'm really excited.
They've done a really good job of conveying all of the challenges of the comic and the issues around sort of. It's really well done. The show is really good.
Yeah,
really good.
Yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it, and I can't wait for next week. I guess we won't talk about it much more because Andrew is not caught up. We'll talk about it when you're all caught up.
I will be caught up next time. Next episode, I'll watch the whole thing.
You guys talk about. Okay, this is what I'll say. I started watching Mortal Kombat with Hannah last night. I was not feeling it. Like, it bugged the shit out of me. I made it 40 minutes in before I had to stop it, and I never stop a movie. But I actually, like, really... I probably would have kept going if I wasn't watching with Hannah. She had no problem with it. Like, she was not... But I was just like, dude, I can't handle this right now. This is, like... this is no good. So I'll probably end up finishing it, but, like... Oh, man.
You should definitely finish it.
I hated it. I hated it big time. So,
yeah, you should definitely finish it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead and talk about it. Not worried about it.
Power your way through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, power your way through it.
They kind of half-ass that. They kind of go... There are a couple of fatalities.
Yeah.
Which are... if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, are gruesome and entertaining.
Yeah.
But it's sort of a half-assed effort, I thought. There's only a couple of them. And they don't really, like, do a whole tournament. It's kind of a weird...
It's like a prologue. It feels like a prologue.
Right.
Movie.
That's exactly right. It was. Yeah. That's exactly right. It's like this pre-tournament... like conflict and it's confusing and
I know that it's not good, the 90s version Mortal Kombat movie. I am aware that it is not a good movie, but it is awesome and I love it. I watch it when I was a kid and I know it's bad, but at least it had like a tournament aspect to it. It was sort of like, you get on a boat, you go to this crazy other dimension, and you fight 1v1, you know, and that's what it's about. It's like get you to the part where it's like the 90s, Scorpion fighting Johnny Cage in the forest. Like those set pieces are so cool. And
yeah, it actually is like a good in a very real way. It's a good martial arts movie.
Yes,
the 1990s.
Yes,
it's like a good martial arts movie. The 2021 Mortal Kombat is not a good martial arts movie.
Like, no,
I was not impressed with the martial arts fight scenes of this movie.
The point of making a Mortal Kombat movie, like, your martial arts should be just like dialed up to 11.
Yeah.
Like that is the thing you got to get right.
Yeah. And I watched the whole thing. There were parts where I kind of like grinned and chuckled because I was entertained. I have no need or desire to watch it again, which is kind of like, in terms of like my gauge of where I like movies is, will I watch this again? I don't have any need or desire to watch this again.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. The thought occurred to me as I was watching this movie and thinking about it afterwards. In terms of like really dumb movies, you can have a really fun, dumb movie like Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
Like, really dumb and fun.
Really dumb, really fun.
And you can have Mortal Kombat, which is just dumb and not that fun.
Yeah.
But both can exist. Both be very stupid.
Pacific Rim. Dumb, a lot of fun.
Like, tons of fun. Like, but tons of fun. Like, Pacific Rim is almost is so, like, you just have to check your brain at the door, yeah. and if you just accept it,
yeah.
it goes above and beyond what you ever expected.
Yeah, it's just like good. It's just good fun filmmaking, Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
But you don't think too hard about why they don't line the ocean with like those blaster.
Yeah, exactly. Like don't think too hard about why, it. They come through one portal.
They come through one portal. Just set a bunch of ships and stuff. Like
just
like,
have endless rockets firing into the portal.
Have a nuke sitting outside the portal all the time. Anytime something comes through it, blow up the nuke. That's it. That's it. Yeah. You're done. Yeah. Like you never have to fight. Like you don't need the. Anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah.
Well, and. I feel like this movie, I mean, I understand, I can intellectualize why they did some of the choices that they did, but it doesn't focus on the characters that I like. Mm. Like, I don't, like, they introduce a new character who's, like, a descendant of Scorpion, so I don't know if, like, in the sequels he'll become, like, the new Scorpion or whatever.
That's the guy who's, like, the MMA fighter. Like, I was desperately trying to figure out who the hell he was. It was like, maybe he's from a game that I never played. Because I know there's, like,
Totally new character. He's a totally new character.
See, I played a few Mortal Kombats, but it really wasn't my jam. I was more of a Street Fighter or Tekken. I was a Tekken guy, I will say.
I've never been a fighting game guy. Really,
I played more Tekken, and then I would say secondary Street Fighter, and then third, like Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat just seemed overly violent, like to me. I mean, I'm not trying to be like a prude or anything. I know people like that. I just think it like I don't need that in my life. I don't need to like pull someone's spine out of their
right. That's, like that's the that has always been my like really.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel.
And I think about the people who are actually like that, and those are the people that I despise the most in the video game world. So,
this is sort of the kind of guys who like Mortal Kombat are the same guys who like Deadpool and Punisher.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's the same group. Bro-y geek crowd. The bro geek.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I feel dirty.
Yeah.
Like even thinking about like playing that, or I've never played Mortal Kombat. I've never owned one.
Whatever console the initial Mortal Kombat came out on, we owned it, but mom and dad obviously never allowed us to play games like that. Mortal Kombat exists in my consciousness because it came out right when I was starting to get into video games, and everybody played it. It was like Mortal Kombat 1. It was the game to own and play
on Sega. It was a
huge backlash. It was about Sega's, the violence and the blood.
Yeah,
and I remember them putting out the clean version where there was no blood in the game, and you could rent that version from Blockbuster.
You could punch dudes in the face, and there like the original version was like blood shooting
off their face.
They released the
clean where they dialed the blood down, and it became just like it just became like brown.
Yeah,
it just looked like you know, like it didn't look like blood.
Right.
Yeah, that like exists in my head for Mortal Kombat. Like the story of Mortal Kombat is. The first version I ever played was the clean version that I rented from Blockbuster because I don't know, mom and dad didn't pay attention to it. But like, it's like, and that I remember playing it whenever it came out and I was a kid, but it's never been like a game I ever, the reason I like Mortal Kombat and it's a title that I actually enjoy is that dumb as shit movie from the 1990s. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only reason that I like the Mortal Kombat series, really, is that movie.
If you were to play Mortal Kombat right now, what character would you pick? Like, what's your fighter?
I'd probably go Liu Kang.
Liu Kang, okay.
Yeah, I really liked that he sounded like Bruce Lee. You know, he had, like, the really kind of cliched and I liked this... Like his like fireball and stuff like that attack was cool.
Hannah says she always played Sonya because it was the only girl in the game, the original game. Yeah. Christopher, what was your character? You didn't have one.
I guess Sub-Zero.
I played Sub-Zero when I was that was my character. I like that you could freeze people and then
right
like,
Yeah,
okay. So it was just kind of meh. I'm going to finish it, but it sounds like you guys are
You should definitely finish it, but it is...
It's bad.
muddled is my word of the day.
Yeah. Muddled.
Not worth the second viewing.
Write that down, Andrew, because muddled is the
title.
Okay, so the Nevers. I haven't watched tonight's episode. There's a new one tonight. Obviously, we're recording this early enough.
I haven't watched today's either.
So we're supposed to have two episodes. We're two episodes in the can already. What do you guys think of this Joss Whedon show, this new Joss Whedon show?
That they have completely removed any kind of, they're not looking at Joss Whedon used to be a brand.
Yeah.
And because of everything surrounding him lately, he is no longer there. He is not branded as a Joss Whedon show, and they're not selling it.
His star text is not good right now.
No,
He only mentioned, there's no mention of him. He's listed as director, right?
He wrote and directed. He's very involved in the series creation.
Right.
It was his idea. I remember him talking. I remember watching or reading a story about him, like during a fan panel at Comic-Con, like 5 years ago. He mentioned that he was working on an idea about a superhero show set in Victorian England. Like, I remember reading that article, and I think that idea became this.
It's the X-Men. It's the X-Men set in Victorian England. Like even down to like the person who owns the orphanage is in a wheelchair. I mean, definitely different powers and different kind of like, but like even like the girl that is able to build stuff. That's an X-Men that I always thought was a really cool X-Men. What's his
Forge.
Name? Forge. Forge is such a cool idea for an X-Men, and he hasn't been in any movies. And he was in the cartoon a bunch. And he's just a guy who like can build whatever he wants. And I thought that was like a really fun idea that like a guy who could like build ships and blasters and teleporters and enhancement things. And I don't know.
The first two episodes, I've enjoyed them.
Yeah.
I've found it to be an entertaining show. I think the actor who plays the main hero, Miss Adair.
Yeah.
I think she is compelling to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I like watching her. She is good in the role. Clearly she has a lot of backstory and history. I have my own theories that I'm working on in terms of what that character is. I think I find her to be the most interesting part of the story so far. Who knows where it's going to go? Mm. I'm enjoying it. I will continue to watch it. We'll see. I think there's enough interesting threads and there's enough like comic booky superhero-y shit that tropiness that will keep me interested unless they just completely go off the rails and the quality of what I'm looking at just becomes much worse. Like it just doesn't become as fun because it's got that Joss Whedon kind of fun self-referential stuff going on, which he's known for, which I enjoy. In a lot of ways, it's not as, I mean, he went full quippiness with Age of Ultron, and that's why Patrick doesn't really like that movie very much.
I don't hate it. It's just on the low end of quality for me.
Sure. But I like the show so far. I like the mystery that they're building. It's got a couple interesting characters that are keeping my attention and that I want to know more about. So I will continue to watch. It hasn't, I haven't fallen.
It's okay. Like, I think
I like the setting. I like Victorian England as a setting. It's got a cool aesthetic.
I think the Whedonisms of it, like, bother me a little bit. Everybody just a little too clever. Everybody just a little too quippy. Like, I can hear it now. Like, he writes a certain way. And I think a lot of people like it. I just think that, like, it just sounds so, like, man, you just think you're really clever, don't you? You know, all of his stuff is like that. And it's like, he's trying to just be really funny. Like, everybody's really funny and clever. Aren't they really funny and clever? And it's like, Okay. Yeah. But I'm not blown away by it. I'm not like, this is the best show on television, but I'm also like, I don't hate it. I think that it's fun, and it's like, it's got some things that I like, superheroes, and it's set in an interesting setting. So I'll keep watching, I guess. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christopher, how are you feeling about it so far after two episodes?
I'm still, I enjoy the Whedon art perspective. I enjoy the humor. I enjoy his framing of his universes, right? I enjoy the lead characters are, they're not paladins, right? They have issues, right? Mm-hmm. They have challenges. I like the realness of the damage to those characters. He likes the troubled hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. That appeals to me because it you know, it's from the perspective of somebody who, you know, I have this power and I got my own shit to sort out, and I'm trying to help people, and in that process, I need.
Do you identify with superpowered people that are damaged, Christopher? Do you imagine yourself as a superpowered person with damages?
Well, I mean.
As he
catches a fly out of midair.
I'm super fast. That's my super fast ability.
Spider-Man was my dude, right? Yeah. So that's where that's also, from.
That just made me think of this segue.
It's like you sorting shit out and you got superpowers. How would you deal with all of that?
Yeah,
I love all of that. That's sort of as a kid, I'm like exactly that. It's like I got all these challenges in life trying to just figure out how to live. And oh my God,
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. This segues perfectly into there's 3 issues that are out right now and I still have to buy issue 3. Are you guys still like, is Radiant Black still on your radar?
Oh yeah, yes. I need to go.
Okay. It is exactly in that like zone of I got these superpowers, but my regular life is still all fucked up, but it's from a millennial point of view. Mm. It's like, and it works on me because I'm at the front end of that. Like I'm an elder millennial and it's like dealing with the imposter syndrome and like wanting to be true to myself, but to still have the fantasy of being a superhero coming true.
Mm.
So like that reality. So the comic book is actually doing that in a.
I gotta pick up 2 and 3. Like I haven't done that yet. Okay. I have only
the first. Good.
My issue is my comic book shop doesn't have issue 1. They haven't gotten.
Oh damn! They still haven't gotten another reissue of that. That sucks.
No, I know.
I'm going to Samurai in the near future. I'll see if I can find you copies. Ooh, Christopher.
That's please, a good call. Please.
I will go.
I have 2. I need to get 3.
There's a shop near my work that I haven't been inside. I think I need to make that. Like I'll stop in there tomorrow and pick up 2 and 3 if they have it.
I was gonna go get 3 this weekend.
We should keep up on that because I like it when we all read a comic together. Well,
I just need. I don't know if it's available digitally. If we need to, I'll just get it digitally.
There's a comic. Comixology probably has it. So yeah.
Anyway, I don't know about that. But yeah, the Nevers. Yeah. So
You know, regardless of, again, it's the classic separate the art from the artist, right? So, I love the steampunky aspect of it, but it's straight up the X-Men.
It's dealing with the same like themes as the X-Men, the problems. The story isn't like introducing any, like the humans are afraid of the X-Men.
Right.
There's a group that wants to kill them. There are bad X-Men that have their own agenda.
The group that wants to control them. Yes. Right.
It's like all the X-Men story tropes just put into Victorian mm-hmm. England. So mm-hmm. it's sort of like it's fine. Well, it's just not breaking ground at all. You know, there's nothing.
We can't forget that Whedon wrote one of the best X-Men stories of the past 30 years.
True.
With the 25 issues he did of Astonishing X-Men is
really good.
Still some of the
they're
best
amazing,
X-Men
yeah.
comics you will
they're,
read.
They're amazing.
So he can do that very, very well.
Right.
So that's
no, I don't disagree with that at all.
I'm intrigued by the originating event and
yes.
the fact that nobody remembers except for
yes.
the crazy person. That is intriguing. That's a sort of wrinkle in all of it.
Right. The other dimension ship that disintegrates into little light particles
yeah,
or whatever
right.
the hell that was.
Yeah, whatever that was. Was. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
So I'm intrigued by that.
This only is happening in England, right? There are no superpowered beings all over the world. Did they talk about that? Or we don't know?
Well,
I don't know.
Yes, we do. Because they said there's in the meeting with like the men in the first episode,
yeah,
like the government men, the ministers. They
oh
said
yeah, that's right.
They it only like superpowered people only. It happened in London, and when superpowered people were discovered other places in the world, they had all been in London on that day. And it would make sense that the British would know that because this is the height. Of British Empire.
British Empire,
like,
yeah.
They had, I mean, as much as, I mean, think about Rome being like the most cosmopolitan city at its time during the height of the Roman Empire. The British Empire with London during Queen Victoria's reign is probably the most cosmopolitan city of Europe, mm. you know, or in the sense that, you know, all corners of the empire eventually end up in London in some form or another.
I'm actually like listening to a book, The Rise and Fall of the British Empire on Audible right now.
Okay.
It's really interesting. I'm just in the beginning of it, but we're not too Victorian times yet. We're still in like the 1500s, 1600s.
You got a couple hundred years.
Yeah, a couple hundred years. Yeah. But it's really interesting. And there was this one thing that I wanted to, like, this is total segue into something else. But like, there's this discussion about like this British naval captain that didn't like give it his all. And I wish I could remember the guy's name. And they executed him. The British government executed him. And then they discuss. Because of that, like, all these British captains were, like, afraid. So they all, like, fought harder than they needed to in naval warfare. And what led to, like, Lord Nelson. And I know that Christopher has read all those books about the Far Side of the World books. Patrick O'Brien, like all these, like this time period is so interesting to me, and I'm just like, I didn't know much about it, but it was like thinking about like Jack being like this guy that like gung ho, like give it your all, and then listening to this book talking about like they executed this captain because he didn't fight hard enough, and thinking about like the mindset of the British like. Captains like gung-ho, like fight as hard as you can, give it your all, because and then that leading to British
king
naval superiority
country.
Yeah, king and country,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
naval superiority. I'm sorry, we're geeking out on history for a second, but
we can do that too. I actually picked up a book. For some reason I was at Barnes and Noble the other day. I was last night. Ash and I had some dinner, and then we were walking around Barnes and Noble, and I had a weird like flare in my head to read some Roman history, and I found this book. It's titled SPQR.
Oh yeah, I have that one too. It's good.
Yeah, by a British historian. I forget her name, but I'm in the mood to like read about Rome. So I think I'm gonna like either if it's on Audible when I get a credit, I'll download it and listen to it. But yeah, no, like the.
Roads and aqueducts, man. Roads and aqueducts.
I mean,
like
Rome
huge.
Had roads and aqueducts, and it had its infantry, and the British Empire was the British Empire because it had the best navy in the world. well, for like 200 years.
This book so far, the beginning of this, talks about like everybody was going to the Americas, and because of them finding tobacco and sugar in the Americas, and this be creating this like this drive for trade and money. Like there was like a, so because of that, like ships, they started building ships like crazy, and then everybody kept building ships, and then it became this like naval time for like 200 years of like trading and sailing all over the world, and then colonies. So like you got to set up a colony, and you got to grow all the tobacco, and you need to protect your colonies, and you need to protect your ships. So it became this like huge thing. It's super fascinating. Yes. Super fascinating.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Technology, like driven by money and greed, like and spreading human. And at the time, England was very populous for its island. And so it had a wealth of people who needed jobs, needed to go places, who were willing to hop on ships to go be a farmer in the new land to grow tobacco and start over. So it's really it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. And tea awesome. the tea in India, like there was no tea in the UK before they got tea from India, and all the sailing back and forth, and the East India Trading Company becoming a thing, and the like the largest this huge corporation of people, it's fascinating. It's fascinating stuff.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but anyways, like okay, so let's move on from the Nevers to Shadow and Bone. You watch some of the Shadow and Bone?
I watched the very first episode.
No, I watched like 5 minutes of it.
Do you not into it?
No, I will watch. Yeah, I want to check it out, but I watched 5 minutes and I was too tired to sort of. So I went to bed.
Chris,
so.
I think you'll dig on it because it's a fantasy world based on like medieval Russia.
Yeah.
Mm.
So cool. that's might be kind of interesting. I got little glimmers of Red Star, the comic with it.
Very much love. Red Star. Oh my god!
Because there's a superpowered class. There's like a superpowered class of people
who are soldiers. Yeah,
and it's like the state. You know, they're using their superpowers for the benefit of the state. It's like Victorian, you know, medieval level kind of fantasy world.
Yeah, I would say it's set in like the 1700s.
Well, there's gunpowder and there's
So maybe it's like more like mid 1800s, like 1850 sort of.
It's got the feel of empire.
Yeah, like
the you know Russian Empire kind of the czars and shit.
Czars and shit, like
And
the outfits are so cool. Like the
I gotta check. I definitely will check it out.
I think the army. Like this is what I'll say about it that it like sets it apart for me is I think the costuming is really good. I think the art style is really good. I think it's shot very well because they're not afraid to go very dark. It has a little bit of like teen romance, like Twilighty stuff in there, but I feel
it's definitely fits the category of pretty people with powers. Like that is its genre, but it's, you know, it's set in like a fantasy Russia world,
but it's telling a different story. Like the concept is really interesting where like there's this black thing that's cutting off two parts of the country. And you can't cross it, or it's very difficult to cross.
If the Bermuda Triangle suddenly appeared and went, you know, come through like all of, you know, the Midwest in the U.S. Like it went from like New Orleans to Minneapolis, and it appeared one day, but you still have to try to get across it. Because you know
how many books are this?
I think there's three or four.
Wow, I mean, I like it. I might actually download the first one because I really like the world. It's very it's fascinating.
It's got a cool. We watched one and a half. It was getting too tired. We were getting too tired last night too. We watched one episode. We dug it. The central character being this kind of very plain. She's an orphan girl who, you know, but by the end of the first episode, you discover that she's incredibly important and special, obviously.
Of course.
So, yeah, but I mean, we'll watch more tonight. We'll watch The Nevers and then we'll watch more of Shadow and Bone. So
looks like it's three books: Shadow and Bone, Siege and Storm, and Ruin and Rising.
I wasn't that interested. I saw a trailer for it and I was like, another teen romance fantasy series.
Yeah.
But when I started to read some reviews, like I read legitimately glowing reviews this show.
Oh wow.
Like effusive. Like, what's this show on? Is great.
What, remind me of this service.
Netflix. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was, I mean, the effusive nature of some of these reviews were like, okay. They were like, this concept's really cool. The world building is fun and it's got compelling characters played well. And it's actually got some interesting plot threads that intertwine.
And the action is pretty good too. Like the spellcaster action is like cool. There's some casters that control like body parts. And so it's like, they can be healers, but they could also like stop people cold and like rip them apart. Do nasty shit to their bodies.
How many episodes are you in, Pat?
I just finished episode 5 and there's 8.
Okay.
There's 8 episodes. So
there's only 8. Okay.
Dude, there's spellcasters that are really interesting. And there's different kinds, and I think it's like coming from something that is like this to The Nevers, this is like very much like doing its own thing, has interesting concepts that are not in other, like, yeah, they're spellcasters, but they're like, they have their own name for it and they're a little different and they're like,
it's got a cool magic system.
Yes. The magic system's interesting. And I love all that. I love like this fantasy stuff. So I think after the series, like I'm enjoying it. So after the series is over, I think I'm going to get the books. I mean, it's definitely teeny bopper romance stuff.
It's got some YA
to it for sure. But like, I like it. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I think you'll dig on a very basic level, Christopher. I think you'll dig on just the aesthetic of the world building. I think you'll dig on that for sure.
The aesthetic, like the costuming is so cool. And they're all like varied and different looking, and the art style. I really like the art style and the costuming for sure.
Yeah.
So,
awesome. I want to talk about For All Mankind. I think I'm the only one who's watching that of the three of us. It's on Apple Plus.
I'm like 2 episodes into the
So season 1.
First season. Yeah.
Yeah, season 1. Just to give you guys broad strokes, it tells the story of, if the Russians landed on the moon first, what would that do to the space race and the Cold War?
Okay.
And it fictionalizes that idea.
When does it take place?
The first season starts in 1969. Yeah, starts the very first episode, the Russians land on the moon. It finishes with the U.S. and Russia establishing permanent moon bases in like 1974.
Whoa.
Like in the moon base, you know, it feels appropriate for the time. Like it's one room with bunks and they have random kind of technology upgrades that would go along with NASA being the focus of the federal government. Like, we need to like ratchet up our spacefaring technology. So like they have video phones in like the mid 70s rather than that being very common 30 years later, you know?
Sure.
So the first season ends in 1974. The second season, which just finished, is 10 years later.
Oh, wow.
In the, like, Reagan is president. A former Soviet astronaut is the Soviet premier.
Mm.
So, because the Soviets, they completely derive so much of their national identity now because they were the first country to land a person on the moon.
Sure.
That is part of their cultural identity. Like, it's become ours. Like, think of what is a great American accomplishment? We landed someone on the moon. That defines us as Americans. Think about that as the Soviets did that first. Mm-hmm. So it tells the story of, there's a permanent, well-manned, like nuclear powered moon base with like 50 people on it all the time. They're exploiting the natural resources of the moon. They're jockeying for territory. It's the, all the Cold War tropiness of like Central America and like all that shit, you know, the gamesmanship between the Soviets and the US that we knew existed in the Cold War in like Southeast Asia and Afghanistan and Central America and stuff like that. But it's now it's on the moon.
Is it, right? Is it still like Joel Kinnaman being the star?
Dude, yes. And he's awesome. The dude is on my list. It's like him and Ewan McGregor are like my man crushes right now. Joel Kinnaman is legit.
Do you know I'm like one dude away from that guy?
What?
I'm one dude away from Joel Kinnaman.
How are you one dude away from Joel Kinnaman?
One of my buddies is his assistant. Yeah.
Dude, I want to meet Joel Kinnaman, yeah, dude. This is legit.
I mean, I want to meet Joel Kinnaman, but I'm one dude away from... Because you live in LA, you're one dude away from everybody. I feel like that. Yeah.
Like, he's awesome. He is so good. Yeah. And I mean, everybody else in the show is really great. And it's Ronald D. Moore. Like, I mean, Battlestar Galactica. I mean, he's the guy.
Oh, I didn't know it was Ronald D. Moore.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Oh, yeah. Okay. He's the showrunner.
That steps
the show.
It up a little bit for me, for sure. Yeah. Like, damn.
So they just finished season two. It wraps up. And the idea for season three, like, there's this big drama that wraps up by the end of season two. And I'm not going to spoilerize everything. Mm. But the tease for season three is that the human race gets to Mars by 1995. And season three will tell a story set in 1995 about the first Martian landing.
Holy shit. I got a call to work on season three, right? From another friend.
You're going to work on season three of For All Mankind?
Probably. Wow. I haven't watched any of this.
You gotta watch it, dude. And when you're in a room with Joel Kinnaman,
that's gonna happen.
You know what you do?
Yeah.
You don't talk about the killing. You don't talk about Suicide Squad. You don't even talk about For All Mankind. You bring up that how he is the very best part of the super crappy RoboCop relaunch. How he played RoboCop, and he's the best part of that movie.
He's really good in that movie, but you know what makes that movie like quality for me is Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton, I think, is so good in that movie.
As like the weirdly kind of like ethical, but also very opportunistic CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael Keaton's great.
But yeah, no, Joel Kinnaman. Yeah. I actually think that Joel Kinnaman like carried Altered Carbon season one for me, like hardcore.
Yes. Altered Carbon was
kind of like meh. But like he was so good that it was like way better than it should have been. Like,
and he is a very fit, very tall, very handsome man. But he was yoked and ripped in Altered Carbon.
Yeah.
Like just like physical prime specimen. In Altered Carbon.
Yeah, he was Well, he had to have his shirt off for 90% of that show. So
yeah,
it's like,
he has a lot of sex in that show.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex in that show.
Lots of sex.
That's like that's definitely a different like that's a different like stance than a lot of these
and
shows.
Anthony Mackie played the same character in a different body in season two of Altered Carbon, and I never finished it.
I didn't finish it either. It wasn't as good, dude.
I finished it.
Was it?
Yeah. Did you?
It like wasn't it? As good as season one.
It wasn't as good as season one. It was.
And Anthony Mackie can carry anything he's in.
I think it was just way too watered down. Season one, what it had going for it was like it was so amped up, and everything was like violent and like torturous and like
turned up to 11.
Sexy. Like they're having sex. Like we're gonna show it. Like everything is like fucked up, and then season two is like, yeah, we're just a sci-fi show. Pew 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 pew. Oh, this is great. Like it was like, okay, well, that's not great. So okay. Well, maybe I should start watching For All Mankind.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. There's 20 episodes. It's on It's on Apple Plus TV. It's.
I think we sort of pay for that because we have the iPhone thing where you get it for so long.
Yeah, if you
that's
get
why free, I have it. Is
you
I,
get a one
I,
year
I get it for free.
Subscription
yeah.
for 1 year, and I think mine hopefully doesn't expire because the new season of Ted Lasso is coming out. In
oh, Ted Lasso's so good! Yeah, they saw. Oh, so dude, good. Dude, they announced that. They showed that trailer, the new season two. Hannah and I love Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso is so good. I rewatched it last week.
Oh my god,
it's so good.
I might have to rewatch it just because it's fun.
It just
it's so fun.
It makes you feel so good inside. It makes you feel good
in a time where everything is like depressing and everybody like everything sucks. We want to watch things that are fun that make us feel good, and that's
Ted Lasso does that for sure. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap this up. We've been rambling on and on for a while. Andrew, do you have some trivia for us?
I do, and it's going to be very basic tonight. Today, we're recording this on April 25th, and it's Oscar night. Mm. We normally don't pay that much attention to the Oscars because they don't pay that much attention to... Christopher is swatting flies on our Discord right now. That's what you're hearing. It's all right. It's okay.
Something's a little in front of me. So
this
get him.
Okay.
Get him, Christopher. Get him.
So this is my trivia question tonight.
Yes.
And it's been I mean, 2020 is maybe the weirdest year for movies ever. I mean, theaters were mostly closed. It was a lot of streaming. It was a lot of limited release stuff. I think the three of us usually go to the movies more than most people when it's safe to do so. So here's the question. Between the two of you, can you name the 8 nominees for Best Picture?
I got this. I got this.
Okay.
You ready?
And how many have you seen?
Okay. Minari, haven't seen it. The Father, haven't seen it. Nomadland, haven't seen it. Promising Young Woman, have seen it. I ran out of gas.
Yeah, you did.
There's three left.
Yep.
Crap. What are those three? I think there's three that I've seen too, so that's even worse. Sound of Metal.
Yeah.
Yes, saw that.
Okay.
Yeah,
but before you go any further, did you see any of them in the theater?
No.
Exactly.
Not a single one. Not a single one.
Okay.
There's two left. And I oh,
and they were both on Netflix. I watched one of them on
Netflix. Was it The Five Bloods? That's not nominated for Best Picture, is it? No. Trial of Chicago 7, which I've seen. Yes. Very good.
Yes. So one more.
One more. I got this. Oh my god. It was on Netflix also?
It's a black and white movie.
Oh, Mank. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it.
So you got all of them.
Yes! Patrick!
Okay, so you've seen of the ones you saw.
Yeah.
Which will win?
I think either Nomadland or...
Oh, you didn't get one, dude. You forgot one. You said Minari, The Father, Sound of Metal, Promising a Woman, Nomadland, Chicago 7, Mank, and Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh, yeah. I think that should win. I think of the movies that I've seen, that movie's great. Holy shit. It is definitely hard to watch, but that movie is really good. Really good.
I've seen Nomadland, and it was incredible.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think Nomadland or that are going to win.
So of the eight films, I only saw one, and it's Trial of Chicago 7. And I thought it was really good.
It's really good.
It is really good. But I don't think it would beat any of these movies.
You know what's weird about the Trial of Chicago 7 and Judas and the Black Messiah is there's this weird overlap of time periods. There's a similar character that the guy who gets killed that's like giving the black guy who's on trial advice. He gets murdered halfway
in
through.
Judas.
He gets murdered, and he's the main. He's one of the main characters in Judas and the Black Messiah.
This real life Black Panther.
Yes, this real life Black Panther. It's fascinating that he like suddenly got two movies that are talking about his life separately, in different facets. But like the idea of like the Black Panther movement, and I guess I don't know. Like there's a lot of stuff I didn't know about that time period. It was tons. Definitely before my time, and then watching these movies are like, oh my God, really? Jesus. This is crazy.
It's our American history, dude, and it's why Black people are justifiably so angry.
Yes.
All the time, because they were treated this way for hundreds of years in this country.
Yes. And
yeah.
Yes. This is all. Yeah. This anyway. True. Well, okay. Thank you, Andrew, for your trivia. You should email Andrew at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com for questions, comments. Also email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Brothers_geek for Twitter. Brothers Geek do stuff on Instagram. We will do stuff eventually again together.
I'm gonna be fully vaccinated.
You guys should come to California for my birthday, and we'll go to Disneyland. I don't know if we can get into Disneyland. That's a lie.
You can get in Disneyland because you're a California.
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind. We can't do that. Anyways,
we can come to LA though and see you.
You can come to LA and see me. That sounds fine too. You should brothersgeek.com, and yeah, that's all the things. Thanks for listening, everybody. No.
Be here or wear a mask.
Thanks, guys.